Hey, Mark.
Hey, Katie.
Hey, you want to do a podcast?
Yeah.
Sweet. Okay. Welcome to the Unforget Yourself show, where we use the power of woo and the proof of science to help you identify your blind spots, get over your own bullshit, so that you can do the fucking thing you actually want to do.
Absolutely. I'm Mark.
And I'm Katie.
And we're the founders of Unforget Yourself and the creators of the Unforget Yourself system. Look, being a business owner is tough.
Yeah.
With vulnerability and with humor, mm-hmm. we'll be sharing with you the real stories behind the success of those brave and crazy enough to start their own business. And to show you that you're not alone.
You're not. Well, from the accidental entrepreneur to the laser-focused CEO, we have honest conversations about how they got to where they are today. We talk about the challenges that they faced and what they're currently dealing with in real time on their roller coaster journey. Along the way, we want to show you that it's you. You are the most important asset in your business.
Yeah, you are. So let's cut the bullshit and start the show.
Enjoy. Okay, hello everyone and welcome to the show. Today we have Meryl Chandler joining us. Meryl is the founder, the director, and the CEO at Get Fundable. He is also the host of the Fundability Report, which is really fun to listen to and super informative. It is the industry intel in what's hot and what's not with lenders, banking, and fundability. So Meryl, can you please share a bit more with our audience about what you do, who you are, just sort of fill in those blanks beyond
sure.
the quick intro I did.
Yeah. So for the last 30 years, I have been very dissatisfied with the adversarial relationship between borrowers and lenders, right? In the back of our mind, the borrowers are like, I'm a good person. Why can't I get money for my business? Why can't, what's wrong with me, right? And what most people don't understand, and we'll probably get into later, is they think that their credit score is good. And there's this dissonance between a good credit score and lack of funding opportunities. Why am I not getting funded? And so Get Fundable addresses this very basic problem that we don't know what lenders are looking for. And so if we don't know, we don't know how to shape our behaviors. We don't know how to shape our businesses, or even we don't know how to shape our personal credit to fit those lender funding guidelines. And so what Get Fundable does is it outlines all of those things. It's called the borrower profile, and how your identity relates, how your banking profile, your borrower information at the bank, your borrower information on your credit profile, and what your credit report looks like, and even what your score is. But the score is the very last component that's even included in the borrower profile. Most of us don't know that. And so that's Get Fundable's mission, is to empower borrowers everywhere with the intel and the tools that they need to become fundable.
Oh, it's fantastic. It's so funny because I feel like we enter into the adult world without any sort of awareness of this.
No clue.
We're like thrown in the deep end and there's no information out there. So it's to be able to have this resource that you provide it's really fantastic. So what made you get into this?
Yes, great question. So 30 years ago, 1992, I co-founded Lexington Law Firm, which is the largest credit repair law firm in the country. And it didn't take long in my tenure there to find out you can't repair your way to fundability. You can't delete some negative items. Your score goes up, but your fundability does not. And that was the great disconnect, right? That your fundability is not, you got to have certain borrower behaviors. You have to have certain ways that you look on, you know, how they say you got to look good on paper. You have to be a legitimately fundable borrower. It has nothing to do with derogatory items on your profile. In fact, we have some highly fundable individuals, clients, and students who still have derogatory accounts on their profile. But because of the internal workings of what FICO measures and what lenders underwriting software measures, you can have derogatory accounts and still be fundable. But nobody ever discovered that until we came on board. And I got to see the world of credit repair from the inside out. And then I established, me and my partners we created the fundability movement, right? To make this aware, to make borrowers everywhere aware, both personal and especially business borrowers.
Do you find, is this sort of a cultural difference? Like, I feel like this is knowledge that's probably available to those that are raised, probably wealthier. They have this just ingrained in what they do because they're often, they own multiple businesses. It's just a whole different language that they speak. And then typically the middle class and then the lower class, this just isn't introduced to us at all.
Great, great observation. Here's what's fascinating. The financial matrix, of which I have been called Morpheus of the financial matrix, awakening borrowers to the truth, it goes across all class and socioeconomic lines. There are just as many blind middle and upper income individuals who are blind to the same principles that the lower socioeconomic strata are blind to. So what happens is that when you have a higher socioeconomic, you can bring more money to the table, and money is one of the fundability structures that allow you to buy access to loans more easily than just your borrower profile, your credit score, your banking profile, et cetera. So that's where you're accurate, is that people who have been trained, you know, the more education you have, the more awareness it tends to be in alignment, right? Yeah. But here's what's fascinating. There are over 50 million unbanked persons in this country that if they had just the awareness of how it worked, they're eager to do so. Right now, they use their paycheck as the asset that they leverage rather than money or a home equity line of credit, you know, their property or other assets they might leverage. They leverage the only asset they have, which is a paycheck. So they're going to these 36% interest loans per week to access money against their paycheck. Check cashing loans or title loans for automobiles, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And so now they can't, it's a high cost a venue to be able to access, but they're still leverage. Just, they have the talent, the skill set to leverage. They know intuitively how to leverage. They're just using really high cost dollars to do so. Now let's get them the intel they need. The training is very simple. These are not hard steps, but the second you know what a banking profile needs to look like and how to, as simple, turn off the ability for your checks to go through zero, right? You can turn off your checking account to say any debit or check, if it goes through zero, reject the transaction. Then you don't end up with NSF fees, your overdrafts. But people don't know this. People believe that bankers are like, oh, you're going to give me a $500 overdraft? You guys are awesome. Yeah, I'll take it. That credit line that goes below zero every time you tap it reports to the bank that this borrower behavior doesn't know how to manage their own money, so they isolate themselves from future credit extensions with that bank. And if there's a balance reported on that particular account, that means it's being reported to future lenders that a checking account overdraft protection line is being used. Nobody wants to lend to somebody who doesn't know how to leverage their own money, how to protect and take care of and manage their own money. Simple steps, right? But holy hell, when we know what's going on, we're like, okay, I'm going to do these four things and protect myself.
Oh, brilliant. So,
and make me more fundable in the exact same moment, right?
Right. Well, could you maybe define two things for us? Could you go into the basics of what fundability actually is, and then also what you mean when you say banking profile?
Okay. So fundability in its principle is aligning our borrower behaviors to fit automatic underwriting guidelines. So borrower behaviors are the key, not your credit score. your borrower behaviors. There are 40 of them that lenders that FICO measures, and there are a pool of 150 of these borrower behaviors that lenders draw from for their underwriting software. So our program, we teach people all 150 of them. So it doesn't matter what lenders have pulled which borrower behaviors from this pool for their underwriting guidelines, right? But that's what fundability is the ability to get a yes by knowing in advance what you need to do to align yourself with those funding guidelines.
Brilliant. Okay. Now then, how about a banking profile?
All right. Your banking profile. Your banking profile is basically how you manage your own personal banking relationship. So there's two functions to it. You can have either just a checking account, or you can have a credit instrument with them, a credit card or an auto loan or a mortgage. Those all count towards building this banking relationship. And so as we spoke just a moment ago, part of the banking relationship is how you use your credit, or are your dollars in that account. So the further away from zero your balance is, if your balance stays above certain marks, then you are more valuable to the bank. And it goes in functions of 1, 2, 4, 7. So 100, 200, 400, 700 away from zero. Right. Okay. Then there's 1,000, 2,000, 4,000, 7,000. Then there's 10,000, 20,000, 40,000. It goes up into the hundreds of millions. That is how it's called bank grading your account. And that's how valuable you are to a lender. So depending on how much you consistently have above zero is the value to to that particular lender. Additionally, it's what kind of traffic you put into that account. So you have your baseline, what we call a baseline balance. And then what kind of traffic do you put through there? Deposits, withdrawals. And if any of those go below zero, that's when do you realize you're cut off at least 6 months in the top 40 banks, which are the tier one and tier two banks. The top 40 banks will isolate you from credit in their institution for a minimum of 6 months for one bounced check, draft, debit. And it is an illusion, listeners. It's an illusion if you think that because you're protected because of this overdraft account. That overdraft account is to look behind the curtain of your real behaviors, because if you're safe to go past zero, you will, and you're now ratting yourself out to their internal performance data metrics that say, yep, they're willing to use this credit with no care in the world because we gave it to them. That is not good borrower behavior.
Oh, I'm so glad you put it that way. It's about borrower behavior. Yeah. And behind behavior is always, you know, the way you perceive things, what you're thinking about, how you feel about it. So when working with clients, do you come up against often the need to retrain how they view their money?
Absolutely. It's actually the fundamental part of our course. The first 2 hours of our training is talking about what money is and how it's perceived in the world, so that the belief system, right? A thought supercharged by a feeling creates a belief. That belief creates unconscious behaviors. What we're trying to do is create a new belief and create new automatic behaviors that go along with the new belief. Like I get to protect. Nobody cares about my fundability. I must protect my fundability. Fundamental beliefs that all of a sudden they're like, what does this mean to my future fundability by making this decision? In fact, we have a tribe twice a week, Tuesdays and Thursdays, we get together and they ask questions. And the most common questions are little subtle things. Is it okay to do this, or how does that harm my fundability? And we know we're doing a good job in our tribe, because people are asking, how do I protect myself? How do I look out for my fundability, because you go to an auto dealership, they're not looking out. They're going to hit you with 7 to 11 inquiries. And there's a way to avoid that. We teach people how to do that. You go to a mortgage firm, they're going to pull credit reports as often as they want because they don't care about your fundability. And yet people say, one of the great fallacies is that your score is not affected if you do within 30 days multiple pulls, right? And everybody says we're focusing on score. Even though we're focusing on score, people are like, yeah, I only got one pull. No, your score is not what gets you approved, your borrower behaviors. So if you don't care about your fundability, then you don't care about inquiries. And now all of a sudden you're letting people pull inquiries left and right, horrible borrower behavior, and you become unfundable.
These are the things that so many people just don't get. And so I think what we want to emphasize too with this is that with knowledge comes confidence. And truly. Yeah. So to be able to approach financing with some confidence or fundability with that,
exactly,
would reshape how you look at your finances.
Absolutely. It's part and parcel. You nailed it. We just need to get under the hood so we can optimize somebody's belief system. And then their banking profile and their credit profile optimize their borrower behavior. And once they have that, man, they can check in every Tuesday and Thursday for if they need some support, but they've got it. They know how to start looking out for their own fundability and not let people have access to their credit profiles, unnecessary inquiries, or how to strategically use inquiries to their best benefit instead of to the lenders.
Oh, brilliant. So what does this look like for entrepreneurs? And I'm asking because I think a lot of us enter into entrepreneurship with the mentality of somebody who's not a business owner. And so you need to educate yourself on what it means to be able to leverage what you have, your assets or whatever, to be able to fund your business.
Yeah. Well, that's a great question, because that's one of the great misrepresentations that are available in the market right now, is that if somebody says, let me help you build your business credit score, they do not understand business bank lending. So if you're trying to get a business loan or a commercial loan or a business credit line, like a true write a check, and make it happen credit line.
Yeah.
That isn't based on Paydex. That's not based on these organizations who want to help you build a credit score. If some people say, oh yeah, you get good trade lines by buying a U-line accounts for janitorial supplies, or get a Staples account. Do you really think that Chase is going to give you a $100,000 business line of credit based on your Staples reputation? When we do the math, it makes no sense to us either. The issue is that since we don't know what business credit is, we don't know how to get the real kind of business credit we're looking for: business loans, business credit cards, and business lines of credit. What's fascinating is that since 2008, it wasn't true before then, and these operators are still using old marketing ideas to keep themselves in business. Mm-hmm. But since 2008, there is no such thing as a bank credit card, business credit card, business line of credit, or bank loan that doesn't require a personal guarantee. They don't exist. It is not a thing. Mm. But we're told that you can get credit lines attached to your EIN, not your SSN. And those are the big catchphrases. And we're like, yeah, I don't want to be responsible. If you're not going to be responsible for repayment, do you think for a second the lender wants to give you their money?
Right.
The truth behind this fallacy is that 80% of every business lending decision, 80% of it is based on your personal credit profile, not the business. Lenders lend to the top line, not the bottom line. of your business. But what they're doing is they're looking at you as the principal of the business. And since fraud is the number one loss for lenders, and the number one location of fraud is a legitimate lender, a legitimate borrower and a fake business. So they want you to sync up the data that makes you and proves that you're the owner. They'll fund you based on your profile, your personal profile, as long as they know, and then drop the money in the business. And then it doesn't report to your personal profile. And that's the definition of what true business credit is if it doesn't report to your personal profile, it's business credit.
Well, that seems much simpler than what most people realize.
Yeah.
Which is fascinating.
I know that was a lot, but man, that's one of my big hot buttons, is that how many people still are trying to go build a Paydex credit score and spending thousands of dollars to build a Paydex credit score. When you go to Wells Fargo or Chase or BB&T or PNC, and you have a fundable personal profile, yeah, and even a modicum of business,
yeah,
it's yours. Your Paydex is not relevant for those lines. Yeah. Now, if you want another retail account, that if you want a Staples or a Home Depot commercial account, they'll look at your Paydex score. But mm-hmm. most people, unless you're a real estate investor, commercial accounts with Staples or Lowe's are awesome. Go for it. Mm-hmm. But man, most people want business loans and lines of credit from business banks.
Right. Can you, just in case, will you please define Paydex score?
A Paydex score is Dun & Bradstreet's attempt to grade its own business debt borrower data. Mm-hmm. And period. Here's the problem. On the personal side, it is illegal for the credit, the data repository, to grade its own data.
Yeah.
Right? Experian has a different company that grades its own data for the scores that they offer that aren't FICO scores. Yeah. In the business side, there are no such rules. So Paydex can now, that's the fox in the hen house. You got Paydex data and a Paydex score? Come on, that just doesn't make any sense. But the Paydex score is authored by Dun & Bradstreet, Business Credit Bureau.
Okay. That's crazy. So
there are times that I'm just like, WTF.
Well, and I'm sure because you've been doing this for so long, you know all the things that are WTF, and so many people don't. They just take that as normal. So it is, again, this need to reframe through education over and over again.
True.
So what do you find for people are like their biggest money blocks or barriers that you're just like, for the love of God, this is so simple.
Yeah, this is great. So great question. So the biggest block for most borrowers is that interest is bad, that mm-hmm. debt is bad, right? I mean, I won't name names, and I will not speak Dave Ramsey's name for the life of me. But
that is immediately what came to my head.
But there are people who say debt is bad. Don't do debt, because nobody has known the funding, the credit and funding game. So what do? They say, stay out of the game. If you don't know how to play it, stay out, which is a fair assessment. The question becomes, why don't we learn the game and then play it masterfully, which is what Get Fundable is all about, right? That's what we're all about. So when we go to, interest is bad, right? Let's take that one. Mm-hmm. Well, let's start first with debt is bad. Well, consumer debt is bad. Strategic debt that builds a fundable profile, that gives the borrower metrics that lenders need to look at and measure, that's brilliant debt. And it doesn't have to be overwhelming. It just has to, we just have to engage it, right? But interest is bad. Well, interest is bad. I treat interest, I teach that interest is the gift we give those who believe in us. And so we're simply paying a thank you for believing in me, write a check and or make my automatic payment, right? Because you believed in me. Now, most of us believe that we deserve our credit because it's all been framed in I'm credit worthy.
Right.
When we attach money to worthiness, there's our biggest and most devastating belief system or belief construct that will that will ultimately diminish. We're like, I'm a good person because I got approved. I'm a bad person because I did, because I'm not credit worthy. We separate, fundability separates those notions out. Those are the things that we need to understand, Katie, that are that say fundability is borrower behaviors, because you can't fake it. You can't run a number on your borrower behavior. You either pay it on your debt on time or you don't. It's not like, all right, what we're going to do this month is we're going to pay it on time and see what happens, right?
Yeah.
You pay it on time or you don't. And they measure it. And then they say, and here's what's fascinating. There's what's called a 24-month look-back period. Some call it trending data, but FICO calls it trending data. But in increments of 3 months, 6 months, 12 months, and 24 months, they're measuring how long you've done a particular borrower behavior. And each of these increments has more weight. 3 months, oh, okay. 6 months, this is kind of a habit. 12 months, now this is a character trait. 24 months, this is their frame of mind, right?
Yeah.
This is who they are. And so what, and it has the same predictive ability in the future. 3 months guarantees the same behavior or predicts the same behavior for the next 3 months. 6 months predicts 6 months advanced behavior, 12 and 24 correspondingly. So those are some issues or beliefs that we currently have. A perfect example of interest being bad that ruins our fundability. So it's called debt shifting. Somebody gets a 18 to 24 month zero interest credit card. Yes. And they're like, I can charge everything that I want on this interest free card because I'm saving money. So they charge it up. And now we ruin our fundability because of the high utilization. That's the actual thing that matters, not the interest rate is an investment. We get to write it off. Just follow the tax code. If you can write off the interest, it must be in business framework, it's a business expense. Therefore, it is a worthwhile leveraging tool, because marketing costs are leveraging tools. We get to write it off, right?
Mm-hmm.
So somebody will go through the 18 or 24 months and they're carrying a balance. They're like, I'm going to start paying interest. I'm going to pop this over onto a new card and get zero interest. And now what, I keep that high balance that may be coming down slowly, minimum payments at a time, but now I'm on a second card. My average age has just lowered, Katie, because I now have a 24 month old card added to a 0 month card. And my average age, my financial reputation, my borrower reputation is suffering because I keep getting new instruments to save interest, which is a consumer behavior, not a strategic borrower behavior. And those are all measured.
Oh, that makes so much sense. And it is such a common behavior, because people automatically think, oh, this is a quick solution to this thing that freaks me out a bit. I don't want to have to pay interest, because again, that belief, interest bad.
Interest is bad. Whereas interest for me is an investment. It's a gratitude tool, and it's an investment.
I freaking love that right there. Like, so much. How did you get to that mindset? I'm assuming it wasn't always the case.
Yeah. So I am my own crash test dummy. You know the little mannequins that they put in cars, they just throw them against brick walls to see what happens. So that's me. So I used to be the guy that when I was in my 20s, I had a thousand dollar overdraft account, right?
Yeah.
And in that overdraft account, so when I got my paychecks, I would take it up to about $100 balance, and then I would use it all the way back down to my $1,000 limit. And every paycheck, I would just pay it back up to just barely over zero. I was so unfundable, but I didn't even know it. So I found out all of these things by asking the question, what would the lender do, right? Mm-hmm. WTLD, right? What would a lender do? And if I were lending money, what would I want from somebody I was trusting my money with? So I just kept asking questions. My whole nature is to pull my purpose in life. Everything that I do is about pulling back the curtain, finding out how everything works.
Mm-hmm.
And is there a way to optimize it, right? Is there a way to build is there a way to create win-wins? Because I want the lender to win. And this actually begs the question, Katie, this philosophy, you can either be prey or you can be a partner to the lenders. And people are like, Meryl, what's the difference? Well, if you're getting small approvals, $5,000 to $10,000, $20,000, and high interest, you're prey. If you're getting low interest, 5% to 7%, and $100,000, you're a partner. So the idea is, how do we leave consumer borrower behavior over to strategic borrower behavior and become a partner with the lenders where they want to continue to invest in us because we're making them money hand over fist, as are we. So another fundamental philosophy that isn't talked about anywhere else that I know out in the market.
Oh yeah. I have not come across it at all. So, and of course, you know, my point of view is I've got it all figured out with that or what the market looks like.
Right. That, well, we all do until we come to this and it's kind of like looking, I don't know if you're a Game of Thrones fan, but it's like looking at the ice wall up in the north. You're like, well, that's what we're up against.
Oh, it's right.
Easier to climb. There is an elevator, but it is that big.
Yeah. But yeah, you need somebody to go. It's just over there. It's not that far away. And it's actually pretty easy to get.
Just hit the word T for top. It'll take you there.
Oh,
right?
My goodness. Right. So, okay, you've built your business on this belief that people should really be able to understand what it means to be fundable. So what was that like? Because it seems, as you said, you don't know anybody else out there doing this.
Right.
So.
I had a ton of insight from my days at Lexington, right? The credit repair law firm. And I got to start. I'm just curious, right? I'm looking, well, what clients are being rejected? What clients, you know, we raise their score 50 points, but they're still not, what are they lacking? Because that they now have a 750 and can't get a credit card. What's up with that, right? Mm-hmm. And so I start doing this math and came to this significant realization that there was something other than score operating. Then because I keep pushing boundaries, I had the opportunity, the great learning opportunity to spend 3.5 years in federal prison for controlled substances and a couple of weapons that I had, sporting rifles, but they apparently, I didn't know this, my own crash test dummy, apparently guns and drugs don't mix. So I ended up having three, even though if they're not related,
right,
3.5 years in federal prison. So one of my philosophies that I teach, because I am my own crash test dummy, one of the philosophies I teach my students is that for every new limitation, there is a new freedom, and they are equal in power and weight. Yeah. So for every new freedom, there is a new limitation.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to balance our freedoms and our limitations. Well, this time in prison gave me 3.5 years of freedom to not do anything but study and examine. And if you get a copy of my book, it's called The New F Word, right?
Yes.
And in there, I share the entire journey, but on the wall of my cell with a golf pencil and a wet napkin to as my eraser, I started lining out the principles of fundability on this wall, and then would write it down in my notebook. And then my former partners, because apparently nobody likes felons being a part of a law firm.
That's weird.
It's weird. I don't know what happened. Yeah. So my former partners, but still friends at the time, would send any book from Amazon, anything that I asked for. They were printing out stuff from the web, sending it in. And I could imagine the guards looking at it going, what the hell is that? There's a ream of paper here, but it's all this research that I asked for, or searches that I asked for. And I start cobbling together this idea of what we now call fundability, right? What is it that they're looking for? And I had time. That was the magic, is the new freedom was time to sit there on my bed looking like, yeah, but why wouldn't that be important? And I'd make a note, right? And just doing math, research, et cetera, came out of prison ready to implement it. And all of a sudden it started working. I mean, like magic working. Yeah. My first 32 clients they're like, dude, this is crazy. What is this? This is like magic juju. And I'm like, it's just the lender's perspective. Because you got to remember, FICO's Intel IP is siloed. Lender underwriting is siloed. Credit Bureau Intel is siloed. There is nobody out there that brings all of that data together, much less now has collaborations with each one of them with their permission, because they see that I'm about making fundable borrowers, which they all win. FICO wins, right? Lenders win, everybody wins with a fundable borrower, somebody who's not trying to take advantage of the system. Mm-hmm. So all of a sudden we implemented it, it worked. And that's when I went back to FICO World. FICO World is like the Mount Olympus of the credit and funding gods, right? Yes. Here I am. I'm just like I'm a nobody, but I am the only representative or person there representing borrowers. And so I ended up meeting with the CEO of FICO.
Of course you did. Of course.
Yeah. Because he comes up to our table and he goes, so tell me about your business model. And now I don't know who he is. It's Will Lansing, most beautiful man ever created by the gods. He's just such a great person. And the funny thing is that he comes up. And I don't know if they did research on us. I don't know why he's asking me this question. We're just sitting at table eating dinner. And I tell them that we make borrowers fundable and we help lenders, those guys that miss the auto loan or miss the credit card by 10 or 15 point metrics. And if we shape their borrower behaviors for 3 months, your lenders would be able to faithfully lend to them. And they're like, let me have you meet with my score development team. And for 2 days, we met with score development teams and I asked 100 questions. What about this? What about this? We had to sign an NDA. We had the NDA police there, a guy making sure that they didn't give away the secret sauce. It was glorious. And I don't know anybody else who has been able to do a deep dive into each of these IP silos and bring it all together to make borrowers fundable. So there's a little bit of my journey.
That is a huge, I want to go back. I mean, I feel like I need to acknowledge what you just said and just like, we need to have a moment of silence, but that's not great on a podcast. But the fact that you were in prison for 3 years and there wasn't a moment where you talked about that, you didn't complain about something, you immediately said, this is what I did with my time. That's abnormal. Can we say how you did that?
Yeah. Steve Jobs would go to a monastery and check out for weeks at a time in Santa Clara.
Yeah.
I went to prison. It's the time out and away. I could not do anything, communicate with anyone except for once a week phone calls. And yeah. So I have no complaints whatsoever. I didn't get a shot. I mean, a shot is like a no disciplinary action. I actually taught history, Spanish, and GED courses in the education departments at the three different facilities I was at. Mm-hmm. And I'm the guy who rounds up. Like, there's a gift here. Let's find it. That's just who I am. But that's fascinating because I'm also looking for the gifts in underwriting models. I'm looking for the Easter eggs, right? I'm looking for the things that are popping up and saying, oh, by the way, if you do this, you get, it's extra. You get more yield on your decisions.
Brilliant. I love that you just said there's a gift here. Let's find it. And
always.
Brilliant. So where do you see Get Fundable going in the next, I don't know, future?
Yeah, we're currently proving out our customer journey, like what it takes to be fundable. We have been doing it for 10 years now, but now we're doing the data analysis and making sure that, you know, where the crossover points are, at what score does a borrower behavior turn that it's now a positive mark instead of a negative mark. They're called negative negative notations. And right now over the course of the next 2 years, we're going to build a software platform so that people can become fundable in a binary experience without having where the software coaches you based on your situation. You put in your initial start data and what is your goal? I want an auto loan. I want a mortgage. I want a credit card. And it will take you through what needs to be done. Oh, your Citibank card is time tasked for your optimal limit is $10,000. You're at $7,200. It's time to raise that limit. Do you want to make that call right now? I say yes. It dials Citibank, and there's a script there to make sure that I can do it with a soft pull instead of a hard pull. And when they get that, you register at the successful engagement, and all AI, it tells you how to become fundable for the particular target, business lines of credit, whatever your target is. My job is to make this software simple, elegant, and effortless for you. And where people start monitoring their fundability score, which we're in beta, fundability score versus a credit score. Credit score is one of five, maybe six components of your borrower profile. Yeah. Fundability score is the result of all of the borrower profile components. Mm-hmm. Why not have a score? Nobody has a score that allows us to measure for that.
Oh, I love it. So where can people find you to get this from you?
Oh, all of our intel at myfundingsystem.com. It's literally will walk you through what are the pieces that you need to do, both on your personal profile. We call it personal fundability fitness, right? And so how to become fundably fit, excuse me. And then there's the business funding system, which allows you to take your personal profile and leverage it into business credit. So yeah, myfundingsystem.com.
Excellent. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for all.
It's been a pleasure. Your questions are great. I love the philosophy behind it, you know, because what we do is a result, as you said, of what we believe, right? And I'm all about talking about the belief, talking about that undergirding philosophy of our lives. And anything I can do, Katie, to inspire your listeners to not be satisfied, but to seek their fundability, I'm all in.
Oh, thank you. I so appreciate your energy and everything that you brought to this. I think you just shared a wealth of knowledge that will be tremendously helpful. So
my pleasure.
Great. Thanks. Bye for now.
Hey, Katie.
Yeah, Mark.
Want to do an outro?
I sure do.
Sweet. Hey, thank you so, so much for listening and making it to the end.
Yay, you.
So what happens next?
We ask them the things that podcasters are supposed to ask at the end of an episode.
Can you please rate, review, download?
Subscribe.
Mm.
Yeah.
But why is it important?
Because that's how our podcast gets noticed.
It's how people find us.
It is. And we want all their earballs.
All the earballs all over the place.
We do.
Nice.
Yeah. So please do all those things. We'll be ever so grateful.
And then more people hear your beautiful voice.
Or yours.
See you next time.
Bye.